From Hollywood, California, we bring you Chapter 22 in the story of Paul Christian, the Doctor of River's End, starring Gene Herschelt, Hollywood's greatest character actor, and presented for your enjoyment by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline. To help promote the health of the hair, to stimulate the circulation of the scalp, and to cleanse the scalp of loose dandruff scales, weekly treatments with Vaseline Hair Tonic will prove beneficial. Let us give you a demonstration treatment.
As the first step in this treatment, I shake Vaseline Hair Tonic liberally on the scalp. The bottle has a specially constructed top that makes shaking easy. Now, there's no waste. Now, there. Now, with the thumb and fingertips of both hands, I work the scalp loose and move it around on the head. Exercise it to stimulate the blood flow. This is a most effective way to prevent excess shedding of hair and help to promote healthy hair growth. Ah, already I can feel the glow of increased circulation, and boy, does my head feel good. Now I'm ready for the shampoo. I use my regular bath soap because I get such a good lather with it. Now, I lather my head thoroughly. Rinse it off. Lather it again. And rinse. I feel good. Now I rub my hair dry with a warm towel.
And when the hair is dry, a little Vaseline Hair Tonic may be brushed on to groom it and keep it in place. Vaseline Hair Tonic supplements the natural scalp oils and tends to overcome that dry scalp condition which is so prevalent among men. It comes in 40-cent and 70-cent bottles at all drugstores. Now we give you Gene Herschelt as Dr. Paul Christian and another chapter in the story of the Doctor of River's End. The scene is Dr. Christian's reception room where Judy is talking to a friend, Isabel Taylor.
Oh, goodness, is it that late? After 5 o'clock, I'd better be going.
Oh, don't rush away, Isabel. We haven't had a good long talk for ages.
But if Dr. Christian comes back and finds me keeping you from your word...
Afraid of Dr. Christian, are you?
Yes, terribly. He looks right through you.
Ah, bad conscience.
No such luck. My life is an open book. The simple annals of a country girl. Born to blush unseen with nothing to blush about.
Oh!
Oh, I wonder what it's like, Judy, to be really wicked, fascinatingly wicked, wherever you go to have men throwing themselves at your feet.
Well, for one thing, it would make walking a little difficult. But you've done pretty well as a charmer at that. Let's see, there was George Spears.
Puppy love.
And Hal Stanton.
High school hero. Oh, he was nice, though.
Harry Monroe and Ernie Welch.
Poor Ernie. His idea of being a man of the world was to smoke cigars, and they always made him dreadfully sick.
Well, Red Leggett, what was the matter with him?
Oh, he was okay. They were all okay, but you'd hardly call them a collection of Prince Charming.
Oh, what did you expect? A knight in armor? He'd make an awful clatter and clank around the house. How about Kenneth Taylor? He must have been interesting. You married him.
Oh, Ken's marvelous. If only he weren't so darn serious.
Well, being married to you would make any man serious.
No kidding, I mean it.
Oh, Isabel.
But I do. He never wants to go out. Never wants to do anything but sit around. Oh, I think the world of Ken. And I wouldn't say this to anyone but you, Judy, but it makes him actually jealous if I enjoy myself.
Huh. Well, what does he say?
He never says anything, but call it a hunch or intuition or whatever you want to. I know he doesn't like it. Oh, we used to have a lot of good times together before we were married, and now he seems to feel I should be a different sort of person.
Well, they do speak of it as getting married and settling down.
Yes, and you take my advice, Judy. Have your fun now. Do all the things you want to do. Because when you're married, you'll do the things your husband wants to do. They can talk about women's independence all they like, but just the same, there's a big sign on this world, and it reads, "For Men Only."
Oh, hello, Isabel.
Hello.
You and Judy talking over your troubles?
I told you. He sees right through you. Oh, but not very serious troubles, Dr. Christian.
Oh, but they are. Isabel's certain that life has passed her by, while out there beyond the distant mountain peaks blow the winds of adventure.
And they're probably very disagreeable winds and full of dust and dirt.
Well, this time I really must be going. Oh, Sonia Henny isn't happy landing at the Strand tonight. You want to go, Judy?
Mm-mm, I can't. I have some work to do at home. I'll go tomorrow night, though.
No. No, tonight's my only chance. Ken's out of town. And anyway, tomorrow night is the Thursday Club meeting.
Oh, that's right. Then I'll see you there.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Dr. Christian.
Goodbye. Well, how is Isabel getting along?
Oh, all right, I guess. Except she has a notion that somehow life has cheated her. She jokes about it, but I mean it.
Life doesn't cheat anyone. You can have anything you want if you're willing to pay for it. Any mail this afternoon?
Just this one letter.
Oh, yes. Those public health bulletins.
Well, I can understand how she feels, though. Isabel was born here. She grew up here. Probably hasn't been away from home for more than a week in her whole life. Never had a chance to go anywhere or see anything. And then all of a sudden she marries Kenneth Taylor.
Well, she must have known what she was doing.
I don't think she intended to marry Ken, though. He was just another one of the boyfriends. Only this time she happened to fall in love. Well, I'm not going to make that mistake. I'm going to shop around and find out what life has to offer.
All right, but don't buy anything without first looking at the price tag. Here, bind these bulletins in the folder, will you? It's on the desk in my private office. Judy, if it isn't on my desk, look in the bookcase.
I have it. Oh, gee, Dr. Christian, I'm glad I found you in. Could I see you about something that's awfully, awfully important? It'll only take a second.
Well, yes, Edna, what is it?
Well, it's my turn to be chairman of the Thursday Club, and I've either got to prepare a paper or get a speaker. So I thought...
The easiest thing would be ask me to talk,
yes.
Eh? I see.
Oh, well, no, not... I mean, I thought up a topic for you.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And I know you could make a perfectly swell 10-minute talk on it. The history of man and what ails him.
You didn't think that up all by yourself, did you, Edna?
Yes, I did.
Well...
I thought you could talk about the different ailments people have always had and how to prevent them. I was reading just the other day that even Egyptian mummies have rickets.
Don't you think it's a little late to talk about preventing rickets in mummies?
Well, you'll come and talk on some topic, won't you, Dr. Christian?
When is the meeting?
Tomorrow evening at 8:30.
Well, you drop in tomorrow morning and I'll let you know.
All righty.
If I haven't any evening calls to make,
I'll... Doctor. Is Judy around?
Yes, she's here.
Be out in a minute, Jerry.
Okay.
How have you been, Jerry?
Oh, pretty good.
I haven't seen you for a long time.
Well, I've been pretty busy. See, I hear they're talking about getting up a ball team again, Doctor.
So?
Mm-hmm.
You going out for it?
No, I don't think I can spare the time.
Well, I hope to do better this season than they did last, the way Center City trimmed us.
River's End would have won that game if Jerry had pitched.
Oh, Center City was just too good for us, that's all.
My brother Pete, you know him, Dr. Christian. He works in the garage.
Yeah.
Well, he says Jerry's the best pitcher Richard's End ever had, and he ought to know he's been captain for 2 years.
Oh.
He says when Jerry had to leave the team last summer, it just went to pieces. I think Jerry owes it to River's End to pitch this year, don't you, Dr. Christian?
Well, we could use a good pitcher.
Well, I don't see how I could arrange my time to get in any practice.
Well, Pete's captain again this year. You could talk it over with him anyway. Come over to the house some evening, hmm?
Well, maybe I will.
I'll have him call you up. How's that?
I think it's very cute.
Oh, hello, darling. I'm glad you like the idea of Jerry playing this year because everyone knows he'll do anything you say.
Oh, do they? I hadn't heard.
About that talk, Edna. What about some topic on public health? Something of general interest to the town.
Oh, that'll be grand. And guess who's in town right now? Harry Monroe.
That guy?
After what happened, I should think that he would at least have enough decency to stay away.
Oh, he's just passing through. He's traveling now for some firm in Chicago.
And if he knows what's good for him, he'll keep traveling.
Of course, I never really knew him personally. I only mentioned him because he was an old flame of Judy's.
You didn't know Harry Monroe, did you, Judy?
Oh, naturally, I knew him, but...
Well, I've got to run.
Drop in tomorrow, Edna, and I'll let you know if I can come to the meeting.
Yes, I will. Oh, come to think of it, Jerry, Pete isn't working at the garage this evening. Why don't you come over tonight?
Well, I don't know.
Or doesn't Judy want you to pitch this season?
Jerry can do whatever he likes.
Goodbye, Edna.
And then it's all settled. I'll tell Pete you'll be over. Goodbye, Dr. Christian. Goodbye, Judy, dear. And thanks for letting Jerry play. I'll see that baseball doesn't take up all his time.
I'll bet she will at that.
Yes, well, don't bet too much.
You know what I like about Edna? She's so nice and friendly.
have just time during intermission in our Dr. Christian story to repeat once more our first aid instructions for the use of Vaseline petroleum jelly. And we can't reiterate it too often, because you never know when you're going to need this knowledge in a hurry. For bumps or bruises, apply the Vaseline jelly directly to the injury. For cuts and actual skin breaks, wash with an antiseptic solution, dress with Vaseline jelly, and protect with a sterile bandage. If the wound is deep, such as a wound made by a nail, send for the doctor at once. For minor burns, apply a solution of bicarbonate of soda to relieve the pain, then dress with Vaseline jelly. Vaseline jelly is manufactured with scrupulous care, sterilized in the process of manufacture, and packed in sterilized containers. It costs only 10 cents a bottle and can be purchased everywhere. So don't let your supply get low. Replenish it tomorrow, for the whole point to first aid is that little word, first. Often, serious trouble can be avoided by immediate treatment of even minor skin abrasions. We resume our Dr. Christian story as played for you by the famous Hollywood star, Gene Herschel. The scene is again laid in the doctor's office.
Is that you, Judy?
Yes. Sorry I'm late to work.
Oh, that's all right. Well, I was beginning to wonder what had happened to you.
Nothing. I just overslept.
But they told me when I phoned your house that you'd gotten up early and gone on an errand.
Oh, yes, I did go on an errand. I mean, I should have gotten up earlier.
Oh.
I stopped in to see a friend, and we got to talking, and I, look, this fern in the window seems to be dying. I better give it some water. Isn't there glass here someplace?
Oh, right there on your desk.
Oh.
What's the phone number of the Riverside Hotel?
Cedar 88, isn't it?
Oh, yes, that's right. I wonder if Harry Monroe is still there.
Harry Monroe?
Yes, he's stopping there. Cedar 88. Hello? This is Dr. Christian. Oh, hello. Well, I'm fine, Frank. How are you? That's good. Oh, will you call Harry Monroe to the phone?
Oh.
Judy.
I'm sorry. I dropped the glass.
Well, did you cut yourself?
No. It just slipped out of my hand.
Yes? Hello? Oh. Oh, all right, Frank. What time did he check out? Well, thanks just the same.
I guess my fingers are all thumbs. I'll get the dustpan and pick up the pieces.
Oh, never mind about that now. I want to take care of this correspondence before I leave the office.
Yes, sir.
Here, you can just answer this letter yourself. Tell Wilkins it's all right to pay his bill in fresh vegetables.
Yes, sir.
Now, let's see. Better take this letter down in your shorthand book. County Clerk's Office, Bureau of Motor Vehicles, Center City. Gentlemen, I'm reporting the following in case any eventualities should arise. Paragraph. About 3 o'clock this morning, I was called out to render professional services to a man injured in an automobile accident. He had apparently run his car off the road and into a ditch, about a half a mile each of the Simpson's Farm. When I arrived, he was still in the car. I recognized him as Harry Monroe. Judy, what's the matter?
Nothing.
I'm not dictating too fast for you, am I?
Oh, no.
Where was I?
I recognized him as Harry Monroe.
Monroe had been drinking and was unable to explain what had happened.
He didn't tell you anything.
I don't think he even knew who I was. I got him to...
Good morning, Dr. Preston.
Good morning, Edna. Good morning. Sit down, will you? I'll be with you in a minute. What did I say, Judy?
Monroe had been drinking and was unable to explain what had happened.
I took him to his hotel, treated him for minor contusions, then drove his car to the River's End garage. This morning, the hotel informed me that he had checked out. The license number of the car was... I've got that in my notebook, Judy. I'll give it to you later.
Is that all?
Yes. Now then, Judy,
Dr. Christian, have you decided whether you can speak at the meeting?
I'm afraid I won't be able to make it, Edna.
Oh, dear. Then I suppose I'll have to prepare a paper after all.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm getting very late start today.
I guess you were up most of the night taking care of Harry Monroe, weren't you? Was he hurt much?
No, bruised up a little, that's all.
Pete said the car wasn't damaged a bit. He said Harry must have been driving with one arm to run off the road into that ditch. You knew there was a woman with Harry, didn't you? He must have been out with one of his old friends.
Well, there wasn't anyone with him when I got there.
Well, no girl would stick around and be caught with a fellow like Harry Monroe, especially at that time of night. I wonder who she was. I'd love to know.
Yes, wouldn't you?
Of course, I'd feel awfully sorry for her. If she was ever found out, the tongues would certainly wag. You know, Pete said that Harry was practically out. I hope the girl was sober enough to get home alone.
What makes you think there was a girl in the first place?
Because when they took the car to the garage, Pete found this scarf on the car floor. And it's obviously a girl's scarf. Look at it. Seems to me I've seen it somewhere before, too. I wonder who it belongs to.
You can stop wondering. It's mine.
Oh. Well, here. I'm sure you must be dreadfully worried about losing it. I know I'd be.
Thank you.
Oh, don't mention it. Well, if I have to write that paper, I'll have to be scampering. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Edna.
Don't forget the club meeting tonight, Judy. There's bound to be some awfully interesting discussion.
Is that your scarf?
Yes.
Oh, why did you have to claim it?
Oh, she knew it was mine. She's seen me wearing it. My initials are in the corner. I wasn't going to give her an opportunity to gloat over me.
And you were out last night with Harry Monroe?
Yes.
You're not telling the truth. Even if you were the kind of girl who would go out with him, you have too much sense to do it.
I am telling the truth.
No, you're lying.
I'm not. Why should I? I can go out with anyone I please. And just because Harry Monroe got into a scrape when he was a kid's no reason he isn't all right now.
He isn't all right now, and you know it.
Well, it's my own business anyway.
Oh, no, it isn't. A thing like this is everybody's business. Especially it's Edna Purcell's business. What will Jerry think when she tells him about it? And she'll lose no time telling him. Make no mistake about that.
I don't care. I don't care if she does tell him. I'll tell him myself. He went out with her last night, didn't he? Then why shouldn't I go out with Harry Monroe?
Oh, it isn't the same thing.
It is the same thing. I have the same rights Jerry has. If it's fair for him, it's fair for me.
Fairness has nothing to do with it. It isn't a fair world. It's full of unfairness and injustice and inequalities. Well, sit down, Judy, while we think of a way out of this.
I don't care if there's a way out or not.
You didn't go any place with Monroe, just rode around?
Yes.
You didn't stop any place to eat or dance?
No.
Did anyone see you with him?
No.
What did you do when he drove the car off the road?
I opened the door and got out and ran.
Ran where?
Home.
Well, did you talk to anyone? Tell anyone what had happened?
No.
Speak to anyone at all?
No.
You're sure? Positive you didn't say anything to anyone?
No, no, no. Now let me alone.
That's what I wanted to find out because...
Can I bother you for a minute, Dr. Christian? Well, what's wrong here?
Well, is there something wrong?
Well, I don't know. You both look kind of funny.
What is it you want, Jerry?
Well, I was just going to ask you if you were going over to Center City today.
No. No, I hadn't planned to. Why?
Well, I guess Rivers End will have a team in the league, all right. And I thought I'd drive over with you and see Monty Moran about the schedule. Of course, I can call him on the phone.
Did you get things worked out with Pete Purcell last night?
No. You know, see, that was funny. Pete had to be at the garage after all, so I went home.
You were home last night?
Well, sure. Where'd you think I'd be?
Oh, I see.
Say, now look, what's the matter with my playing ball this year?
Why, nothing.
Well, everybody certainly acts awfully queer about it. Any reason why I shouldn't play?
Of course not. Everybody wants you to play.
Then what's the big idea of all this?
Now, run along now. I'm trying to dictate some letters.
Okay, but I don't see
why...
Wait
a minute, Jerry.
Huh?
I want to tell you something. I want you to know that I...
We all think it's wonderful you're going to play. Judy will finish that letter.
Last night...
That's right. Gentlemen, last night I decided to give your product a trial.
I was out.
I filled the paper, so use the sample you sent me. Finding is very satisfactory. Send me...
Please,
yes, of course, please. Send me a complete supply and bill me for same. Very truly yours...
Hey, what's going on here?
Are you still around?
Yes, and I want to know what this is all about.
Judy, take a letter.
You can't stop me from...
That's right. You can't stop her from taking dictation now just because you want to hang around and talk.
It's about Harry Monroe.
What about Harry Monroe?
He was in a little accident.
I've already heard about that.
Well, then what are you sticking around for? I'm busy. Now get out.
Okay. I'm gone. I didn't mean any harm. I'll see you this evening, Judy.
It didn't do you any good to stop me. I'll tell him anyway.
I don't think you will. You see, I was right. You were lying. You didn't go out with Harry Monroe.
I did.
Oh, no. And I'll tell you how I found out. You said you didn't talk to anyone about what happened. Anyone.
That's the truth.
Well, this morning about 3 o'clock, a young lady called me up. Told me an accident had happened to Harry Monroe.
What? Called you up?
Told me exactly where I could find his car. Well, she was a little hysterical and I didn't recognize her voice. And no doubt she was trying to disguise it, but I was pretty sure it wasn't your voice. And now as you say you didn't talk to anyone, well, there you are. It's quite simple. Who was the girl in that car?
I'm not going to tell you.
Who was she?
I won't tell you, I say.
Are you going to let people believe it was you?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Edna might be right, you know, about the tongues wagging.
I don't care. They can say what they like about me. It doesn't make so much difference, but they're not going to find out about her.
Well, how can it make more difference to her than to you?
Because it will.
She must be a good friend of yours. A very good friend. And since it would make more difference to her than to you, she must be married. Well, then let me see. I'd say she would be... Yes? Isabel Taylor. Well, am I right? I'll call up Isabel.
You don't need to call her. It was Isabel. I forgot you could look right through a person. But she didn't do anything wrong, not really wrong. She just wanted to have a good time, that's all. It was just something to do for excitement. She doesn't care for Harry Monroe. She knows what he is. A heel, pure and simple.
I never knew a heel was pure and simple. And so she asked you to take the blame.
Oh, my taking the blame didn't even occur to her. She probably doesn't even remember she dropped that scar.
How did she happen to have it?
Oh, I lent it to her a long time ago, but I can't tell people that. They wouldn't believe it. Even if they did, I can't let them find out about her. She could never explain it to Kenneth. No, I'm caught in a trap, and there's no way out of it.
Yes. Yes, it looks as if you're a boat caught in a trap. But if there's a way in, there's a way out. Maybe you'd better explain everything that happened.
Well, this morning Isabel phoned me. She was crying, and I couldn't make out what it was all about, except that she wanted to see me.
And you went out to see her?
Yes, and she told me about having a date with Harry, about his running into the ditch. She was scared to death. She thought he was badly hurt because he didn't answer when she spoke to him. For all she knew, his neck might have been broken.
Well, it hardly ever happens that the right person gets his neck broken at the right time.
Well, anyway, she jumped out of the car and ran home.
She didn't tell you she'd phoned me?
No, and she didn't say anything about the scarf. She was only afraid that Harry was...
Wasn't dead.
No, that he might talk. When I heard he'd left town, I thought it was all finished, but... Oh, this scarf.
Yes, yes, that scarf. Let me see it a minute.
Here.
Yes, I think it's just about right. It ought to do very nicely. I'll just keep this if you don't mind.
Well...
What time is it?
9:30.
9:30, huh? Yeah. Judy, call up Edna Purcell.
Well...
Tell her I'll be able to speak at the meeting of the Thursday Club after all.
Day. I've simply been going around in circles. Oh, excuse me, darling. There's Mrs. Ross. I'll be right back. Oh, hello, Mrs. Ross. How are you?
Isabel.
Oh, Judy.
He's all right. He's left town. I didn't dare to phone you, but that scarf of mine.
He left it in the car.
Oh, they found it.
Oh, no. No, they couldn't have.
Please, I've got to talk fast. Don't say anything to anybody. Just keep still.
Who found it?
Edna's brother. Edna thinks I was in the car.
What are we going to do? Oh, Judy.
I don't know, but don't say anything.
Oh, but I can't let you take
it. Oh, Judy, how are you? So glad you came. And thanks for persuading Dr. Christian to give the talk. What's he going to talk on?
I don't know.
I was hoping it would be on automobile accidents. Automobiles are such a danger to some people. Oh, here's Dr. Christian. Hello, Dr. Christian. How are you?
Oh, in a hurry as usual. I really have some calls to make, and if I could make my little talk
Now...
Yes. We'll dispense with the reading of the minutes and get right to your talk. I'll call the meeting to order right away. ladies, could we come to order? Dr. Christian has been so kind to come here and give a talk this evening that I promised to put him on the program early so he can get away. I'm sure it's agreeable to you all to waive our usual formalities. Dr. Christian.
Thank you. Well, I haven't had a chance to make any notes, so I hope you won't mind if I just ramble along. We hear a great deal today about preventive medicine. Sometimes a very simple little thing gets started and goes from one person to another and causes a lot of suffering. It's the duty of the doctor to stop those little things before they get a start, and not only the doctor, but everyone. So I'd like to give you some points on what to do in emergencies. Now, take accidents. Now, just the other evening, I was called out to treat Harry Monroe, whose wrist was hurt in an automobile accident. And in such a case, an ordinary scarf makes an excellent temporary sling. Oh, in fact, this scarf right here. it really belongs to Judy, and when I picked it up, I had no idea how handy it would be. Oh, by the way, thanks, Edna, for finding it and returning it to my office.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
I'm afraid Judy would have been a bit disappointed if she hadn't gotten it back. Where did you say you found it?
Why, my brother found it in Harry Monroe's car.
Oh, of course, yes. Well, that's just where an absent-minded old doctor like me would leave it. Only when your brother discovered it, I wonder what made you think I might have lost it.
Yes,
of course, I forgot. Your brother knew that I had taken care of Harry Monroe.
Yes, that's it.
And so you brought it back. Well, that was very nice of you. You know, I was kind of puzzled at first how you figured I left you there, but I guess that clears that up. Getting back to the emergency. First, lay the scarf out flat like this. Then fold it diagonally, and it becomes a useful sling. And as you can see for yourself, it will prevent much suffering.
Dr. Christian stories, starring one of Hollywood's most versatile actors, Gene Herschelt, come to you every Sunday afternoon with the good wishes of the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, makers of Vaseline preparations. If you are one of the many thousands of people suffering from spring colds, you can get relief by applying Vaseline jelly to the inflamed lining of the nasal passages. Get a new bottle or tube of it and keep it right beside your bed at night. Place a small amount in each nostril. The heat of the body will melt it and distribute a soothing, harmless film of the Vaseline jelly over the sore and swollen membranes. Relief and comfort will follow, and you will probably be able to get a thorough night's rest because your breathing will be so much easier. As in all bodily ailments, prevention is worth more than a cure. Keep the nostrils lubricated with Vaseline jelly. The medical theory is that protecting the nasal passages helps to prevent germs from getting a foothold. People who live in dry climates especially can use Vaseline jelly to advantage every night before retiring. A tube or bottle costs so little that everybody can afford the comfort it brings. When you buy, be sure to look for the trademark Vaseline on the package. If you don't see it, you are not getting the genuine article. And by the way, prices of Vaseline preparations mentioned on this program apply only to the United States. Gene Herschelt, star of this show, appears on the program through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. He will be back next Sunday with another absorbing Dr. Christian story for you. Until then, this is Art Gilmore bidding you good afternoon for the makers of Vaseline Preparations. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.